What can God do? Can He make water into wine instantly? The farmer can make water into wine, but not instantly. He has to put the water into the ground. Then the vine soaks up the water. And through natural processes and the work of the farmer, it becomes wine. If God can make the water, the natural processes and the mind of man that knows how to use a process to produce something to drink, can God then bypass all those things and make water into wine instantly? If Jesus was in the beginning with God, and if all things were made through Jesus, can He, without effort, make water into wine instantly? Well, come and see. Let's go to John chapter 2 and watch what happens. Verses 1 through 4. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with Me? My hour has not yet come." Excuse me. On the third day, after meeting Nathanael, as Lake read, Jesus attended a wedding. His witness, John, refrained from such social activity. But Jesus freely engaged in social activities and used them to the glory of God, as He will on this occasion. When the wine ran out, Mary immediately went to her son. He had not made wine before. She had not seen Him do any miracles. Why did she go to Him? Was she expecting Him to do something, or was she just merely saying, "They've run out of wine"? You know, like we might do. We go to a party or a wedding reception, and you can tell that it's not nearly over, and they've run out of wedding cake or something. We might just say to each other, "Man, they've run out of cake. What are they going to do?" The situation, it seems like in her mind, needed to be remedied. And she knew someone who could do it instantly. Why was she thinking that? What's going on here? Before Jesus was born, an angel appeared to Mary and told her that her son would be the Son of the Highest. She understood that to mean that He would be the Son of God. After He was born, shepherds and wise men worshipped Him. Her relative, Elizabeth, who was also pregnant with John, the baptizer or the witness, the one we've been seeing in chapter 1, she said that her baby even leaped when the pregnant Mary approached her. And she told Mary that. Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple after His birth, and a prophet and a prophetess said amazing things about Him. Is there any mother here who would forget things like that concerning your child who's born? Well, I can speak for a father. Man, I sure wouldn't forget any of those things. I'd carry them till the day I died. If all those things had been said and done for the child who was born to me and my wife. Excuse me again. And in Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that Mary did indeed remember these things. And I don't, again, think that it was just for a few months. But this was something that she remembered all her life, including on that day in Cana of Galilee when there was a wedding. In Luke 2 and verse 19, Luke the physician wrote, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." She didn't just keep the memory of them, she dwelt upon them. She relived them and thought about the meaning of these things. Therefore, she knew... excuse me, Nathan, could I bother you to get me some water? I don't know what's happened to my throat all of a sudden. She knew that her son was capable of filling the shortage of wine. Now, Jesus did not speak to her irreverently, but the burden of her heart was not His concern at the present. Not that He didn't care, but humans can take care of themselves. And God lets us do those things unless for some reason He needs to intervene. God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Thank you. Jesus called Mary woman, showing neither worship nor disrespect. He called her what she was. And He was not ashamed of what she was. But He told her it was not His hour, His time of ultimate glory. She did not realize that once He started doing miracles, His popularity would soar. Which means that He would also have people who were envious of Him, as all popular people have. John continues, verse 5. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever He says to you, do it." He did not even tell her He would do something about it. She's been pondering these things that happened around the time of His birth for 30 years, for three decades. And now she's noticed His job change. He's not working with wood anymore. He's suddenly teaching. Now He's gathering disciples. This is the moment. This is the time when He can finally start doing something. So she just tells the servants, whatever He says to you, do it. Knowing that He's going to do something. Mary's confidence in Jesus exuded from her. And she just knew something was about to happen. He would make enough wine that neither he nor Mary could handle the amount. But the servants, the one who were properly hired to serve the wine, she gave them the instructions that whatever He tells you to do, you do it. They were trained for this. Again, John continues the narrative in verses 6 through 8. Now there were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. John said, in the New King James Version here, that these water pots contained 20 or 30 gallons apiece. So they weren't all the same size. And I don't know, you know, how many of each of those containers contained the gallons. But let's just say three of them had 20 gallons and three had 30 gallons. That's 150 gallons of water. They filled them to the brim with water. So that it's obvious nothing else is going to be added into these water pots. Dye was not added to it to make it look like wine. It would require a large amount of dye. And remember, this is an unexpected event. This is not necessarily something he wanted to do. Notice also, Jesus nor his disciples handled the water pots. He commanded the servants to fill the water pots with water. This way, his mother, his disciples, and the servants could see that water was being poured. They saw the water. They obeyed Jesus. And when I read that, I just thought that was so interesting because many people who know Jesus and know who He is do everything they can to fight obeying Him. And here are some servants who do not even know who He is and they instantly do what He says. Let's be like those servants. Even if we don't always understand what's going on, even if we don't always understand why the Lord tells us to do something, let's be like these servants and do what He says. Jesus and the disciples still did not touch a thing. He told the servants to draw some out and take it to the master of the feast, and they did. Jesus did not do it Himself, nor did His disciples. No one with a personal interest in seeing Jesus magnified handled anything. Especially His mother. Now the servants knew what they had just done. They knew the wine was out. They knew that they poured water into the water pots. Yet they did not know everything. And they didn't have to know everything before deciding to obey Jesus. Again, John continues the story, verses 9 and 10. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and he said to them, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." The master of the feast, the one hired to run the reception, did not know the source of this new wine, and he did not understand why the bridegroom could get things out of order. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? You have someone over to your home for a meal. You don't serve them the bad food first. You don't serve them the food you burned. I mean, if it wasn't burned too bad, you'll save it off to the side, let them eat the good stuff, and if they're still hungry, then you'll give them the burned food, or partially burned food. But it seemed like this guy reversed the whole thing. It's not that the first wine was bad, it's just that this last wine was even better than what they served at the beginning. And he didn't understand that. And life is confusing when you do not know the source of blessings. Now, interestingly, his opinion was unbiased. He didn't know Jesus. Jesus was not well known yet. He had no interest in promoting Jesus or Mary. He just has a feast to run. But he says, this is good wine. This is good stuff. So in other words, it was real wine. It was not a concoction made from water and some powder that Jesus threw in there and mixed up. It wasn't some water and some tablets that Jesus and the disciples had snuck in. No, this is real stuff. Something really different just happened. Then John makes this comment in verses 11 and 12. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. After this, He went down to Capernaum, He, His mother, His brothers, and His disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Well, Jesus, in a sense, had already done some signs. For example, when He revealed to Nathanael that Lake read from earlier, and told Nathanael that He knew exactly what He was doing before Philip called Him. However, with this miracle, Jesus did something publicly, thereby manifesting His glory. Do you remember who He is? Listen to the first three verses of the Gospel according to John. John 1, 1 through 3. Take these words in now and think about who was present at that wedding that day. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. The one John just wrote about right there was present at that wedding. Therefore, He made the water. He made the material of the water pots. He made the servants. He made the grapevines. He made the soil that the grapevines grow in. He made the nutrients in the soil that feed the plant. He made the sun that the plants use to produce food. Well, if He made all those things, can He bypass some of those processes and make the wine instantly? Oh, yes, He can, and oh, yes, He did. If He is, as John wrote at the beginning, then turning water into wine is no surprise. I want to say almost, well, big deal. He turned water into wine. Of course He can do that. You see, when you come to the Bible and you go not necessarily to John 1, although that's a good place to go, but you go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Can He turn water into wine? Listen, if He can make the heavens and the earth, turning water into wine is nothing to Him. Because of this, John says His disciples believed in Him. Do you believe in Jesus? What more do you want to see? Well, stay with us. Stay with us in John, and you will see much greater things than these. John also said there in verse 12 that Jesus was on the move, going to Capernaum with His mother, His disciples, and even His brothers. His days of working with wood were over, but wood was not done working with Him. He who can create water, walk on water, still water, and change water can do all things. He can make water pass through the vine to make wine, or He can bypass the vine to make wine. Now Jesus heads to Jerusalem. Verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When He had made a whip of cords, He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And He said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make My Father's house a house of merchandise." Then His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for Your house has eaten Me up." This was the first Passover in the Gospel according to John. Deuteronomy chapter 16 commanded that all Jewish males were to make annual pilgrimages to Jerusalem to celebrate among the feasts the Passover. Deuteronomy 16:16 says, "Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses." In this case it was Jerusalem. "At the Feast of Unleavened Bread," that's the Passover, "at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed." So Jesus obeyed the law. During the Passover, the Jews remembered the passing over of the destroyer as He went out through Egypt, killing the firstborn in every family. But of course, if you saw the blood on the doorpost and across the top in the homes of the Israelites, the destroyer just passed over. At this feast, the Jews were to meditate deeply on their deliverance from Egyptian bondage, not on how to make money off their brethren. So Jesus took strong action against the desecration of the temple of God with a whip of cords. He drove out the merchandisers and their merchandise, pouring out their money and overturning their tables. There is a time for quiet, and there is a time for action. He used a whip of cords on them, and out of hatred for what He did, they later used a whip of cords on Him. He ordered them to take their merchandise away from the temple because the temple was a house of prayer, not a house of merchandise. This was His Father's house, one of the few structures that God ever commanded be built on the earth. And they were ruining it. He took this as a personal offense. Oh, if only they had known who visited the temple that day. And suddenly, John says, that the disciples remembered a scripture and they saw it happening, being fulfilled right before their eyes. That is, that zeal for the things of God would consume the life of Jesus. Verses 18 to 21 now state this. "So the Jews answered and said to Him, 'What sign do You show to us since You do these things?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' Then the Jews said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and You will raise it up in 3 days?' But He was speaking of the temple of His body." The Jews did not know who this man was, but they sure wanted to know. When you mess with a man's income, you anger him, even if what he's doing is sinful. You better have You better have some authority behind you, mister. However, Jesus was willing to show His identity. They had to destroy this temple, and He would raise it up 3 days later. Thousands of men took 46 years to build this structure that He just cleaned out. Now He's talking about doing it all by Himself in 3 days. However, as in every chapter of the Gospel according to John, the people misunderstood Jesus. In almost every chapter of John, Jesus is trying to get people to think spiritually or to think about the things of God, and they just want to think about the things for the body. Chapter 6, He deals with bread. But they're thinking about, oh, He's going to give us some free food to eat. No. In chapter 4, He comes to a woman and talks about water. And she thinks He's talking about giving her water to drink. And no, it wasn't that either. And then that same chapter later, His disciples came to Him, and He's talking about meat, and they think He's talking about eating for the body. No. Every chapter there's something like that in John. He spoke of His body. And what He was doing was prophesying that they would kill Him, but 3 days later, He would raise Himself from the grave. And then 3.5 years later, look what John says. Therefore, when He had risen from the dead, and His disciples remembered that He had said this to them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in His name when they saw the signs which He did. So John jumped forward 3.5 years, recounting the time when he and his fellow disciples remembered that He had said these things to the Jews. And taking these actions against the businessmen also led others to believe in the name of Jesus, because although He did not perform a miracle here, He took bold action against the greedy and the unscrupulous. And they liked Him for that. But then John ends the narrative, at least ends it for what we'll be looking at today, with these words, 24 and 25. But, so although they believed in His name, Jesus did not commit Himself to them, because He knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. They committed themselves to Him, but He did not commit Himself to them. Why? Why did He not commit Himself to them at this time? Well, John says He knew all men. He knew that quickly and easily they could change their opinion. And in fact, that's exactly what happened 3.5 years later. He had no need that anyone should tell Him what man was like, because He knew what was inside of man. Well, of course He does. He's God. Isn't that what I've read from Scripture today? Isn't that what I read in the first 3 verses a little while ago from the first chapter? He's God in the flesh. Of course, He can be standing here. You could not be communicating a word, but He knows exactly what's going on inside your heart and your mind. Jesus did not commit Himself to them at this time. But later, when He did, when He committed His Spirit into the hands of God, Jesus has already committed His life and His death to every person who is present here this morning. What shall I commit to Him? Why can I not commit the same thing He committed to me? My life and my death. For those of you who are ready to do that, don't hold yourself back anymore. If you need to be baptized this morning, or if you need further Bible study, If you need something to kind of push you over the edge and you want us to give you that little push or pull you or whatever it is, that encouragement, we want to do it. You can let us know. You can come forward now as we stand and sing.